you know, you have a camera, you have a genuinely good eye for a shot.
Terribly.
But what happens when you try to bridge that terrifying gap between an expensive weekend hobby and a legitimate rent-paying freelance career?
That is the ultimate question, right?
It really is. Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast, everyone. Today's deep dive is brought to you by your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcot.
Haha, yes. And we are so excited to get into this one.
We really are. We are pulling today's incredible, actionable blueprint directly from the bestseller ebooks available right now on the Pitcot ebook store.
They are so good, seriously.
So good. Please visit www.pitcot.com/books to download.
You definitely want to do that before we even get started.
Right. And hey, subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Yes. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Exactly. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too. So let's unpack this wild transition from hobbyist to professional.
Yeah. I mean, the transition requires a massive reality check right out of the gate. The phrase freelance photographer conjures up a very specific glamorous fantasy.
Oh my gosh, yes. Golden hour lighting, jet setting everywhere.
Right. You picture yourself traveling to exotic locations, just capturing pure art all day, living the dream.
Uh-huh. If only it were that simple.
If only. And the truth from the Pitcot sources is that, yes, you will have days that feel exactly like that. But if you want this to actually pay your bills, you have to accept the administrative reality.
The dreaded admin work.
Exactly. Most days are spent hunched over a laptop at midnight, you know, editing raw files, writing emails, drafting proposals.
And chasing down invoices that are inexplicably 3 weeks late.
Yes, the worst part. But that administrative grind is exactly what creative people usually run away from.
So true. So, I mean, how do you force yourself to embrace the spreadsheets and the endless emails without just completely losing your passion for the art itself?
Well, you focus heavily on the ultimate trade-off, which is total freedom.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, when you build this business correctly, nobody is holding your hand, but nobody is dictating your life either. You are the boss.
That is the dream right there.
It is. You pick the clients. One week you might be shooting a really emotional wedding, and the next you're doing high-end headshots for a local corporate team.
Or maybe shooting intricate products for an e-commerce brand.
Exactly. You entirely avoid the predictable, soul-crushing Monday to Friday cubicle routine.
Which is huge.
It's massive. But the catch is absolute. If you don't figure out the mundane business administration, you simply don't get to eat.
Wow. The freedom is the reward for mastering the hustle, basically.
Perfectly said.
And since you are the boss now, your first massive hurdle is acquiring clients. To do that, the Pitcot material emphasizes that your portfolio is your silent salesperson.
Oh, yes. The portfolio is everything.
Right. And the golden rule here is curation. Like 12 killer shots absolutely destroy 60 average ones.
100%.
But, you know, from a purely logical standpoint, if I'm trying to convince a stranger to hand over thousands of dollars, doesn't more proof equal more trust?
You would think so, right?
Yeah, like shouldn't I show them the sheer volume of my experience so they know I've been around?
It's a super common trap. But showing volume actually triggers cognitive overload, and it dilutes your perceived value.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. Huh. Think about it. If you show a potential client 60 photos and 20 of them make you go, well, the lighting was tough, but I saved it.
Uh-oh.
Right? You've just anchored your value to those mediocre shots. Your portfolio isn't a hard drive dump. You know, it is a highly calculated sales pitch. You have to be absolutely ruthless.
Okay, that makes me think of going to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like if they hand you a 10-page diner menu, you are completely overwhelmed.
Uh-huh, totally.
You subconsciously assume that a kitchen offering 200 different dishes can't possibly do all of them well. It just feels cheap.
That is such a good analogy.
But a curated, one-page fine dining menu, you instantly trust that every single item has been perfected.
Exactly. That fine dining menu is the perfect mental model for the ideal portfolio structure.
I love that. So how do we actually structure it?
Well, the sources say you lead with your absolute strongest image, the showstopper.
Boom. right up front.
Right up front. And this isn't the photo with the most sentimental value to you, by the way. It is the photo that stops a cold prospect mid-scroll.
Oh, that's a crucial distinction.
It really is. Then you introduce variety. Show that your showstopper wasn't a fluke by proving you can handle different lighting scenarios and dynamic subjects.
Okay, so proving your competence.
Yes. And finally, you end on a highly memorable shot that burns into their retinas long after they close the browser tab.
Leave them wanting more. And the sources highlight a brilliant psychological tactic here too, which is providing context.
Yes, context is huge.
Like, don't just show the polished final image. Include a quick behind-the-scenes shot or a brief caption explaining the client's problem and how you solved it. Oh, that is so smart.
Right. It proves to the client that you are a professional problem solver, not just someone who got lucky pressing a button.
Because fundamentally, clients are hiring you to solve a visual marketing problem for them.
Exactly.
And speaking of closing tabs, the physical performance of your portfolio is just as critical as the images themselves.
Oh, like load speeds and stuff.
Yes. Most of your leads are going to view your website on a mobile phone while standing in line waiting for coffee.
Aha, so true. We're all so impatient now.
We really are.
Yeah.
And the data from the PicCot eBooks shows that if your site takes longer than 3 seconds to load, they are gone.
3 seconds. Wow. The window is that small.
It's tiny.
Okay, well, we also need to address a major portfolio killer that pops up constantly.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yep. The massive, semi-transparent watermark slapped right across the center of an image.
Ugh. Yes. Watermarks are incredibly destructive to your brand.
They really are. But people are so scared of getting their work stolen. I get the fear. I really do. But a giant watermark completely ruins the compositional integrity of your art. And worse, it screams amateur.
Ouch! But it's true.
It instantly communicates to the client that you operate from a place of fear, that you are more worried about someone stealing a pixelated image than you are about providing a beautiful professional presentation.
So if you are absolutely terrified of theft, what should you do?
The PicCot eBooks advise using low-resolution versions for online display. Or, you know, at most, a tiny tasteful logo tucked into the corner.
Right, because the high-paying clients you actually want are going to hire you for the full-resolution unwatermarked files anyway.
Exactly. They aren't trying to steal your 72dpi web images.
Haha, exactly.
Okay.
So, okay, now that you have this perfectly curated, fast-loading portfolio, the next instinct is to start offering your services for literally any project that comes your way.
Ah, yes. The generalist trap.
But wait, from a pure cash flow perspective, especially in the first year, isn't turning down a corporate headshot gig because you decided to be a newborn specialist just leaving rent money on the table?
I mean, it definitely seems counterintuitive. But generalizing is a race to the bottom.
How so?
If you are a generalist, your only competitive lever is price, which leads directly to burnout. Clients want specialists.
That makes sense. Like doctors.
Exactly like doctors. If parents are handing over their 5-day-old infant, they want a photographer who eats, sleeps, and breathes newborn safety and posing.
Oh, for sure. You wouldn't trust just anyone with a baby.
Right. Or if a real estate agent needs to sell a $1 million property, they want an expert in architectural verticals and dynamic range lighting.
So how does a beginner actually discover their specialty without painting themselves into a corner and going broke in the process?
The PicCot strategy here is brilliant. You cast a wide net initially, but with the strict intention of narrowing it down.
Okay, so you do shoot a bit of everything at first.
Yes. Shoot the weddings, shoot the pets, shoot the products, yeah. But treat it like an audit.
An audit. Interesting.
Yeah, pay very close attention to what actually energizes you creatively. And simultaneously, map what clients in your specific local market are actually paying a premium for.
The market demand.
Because you might be the greatest underwater portrait photographer alive, but if you live in a landlocked desert town, you will starve.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No, you have to find the exact overlap between your passion and local market demand. And once you find it, you own it.
Own the niche.
Study the top competitors in that niche, find your unique competitive advantage, and make it impossible for clients to choose the cheaper option down the street.
Wow. Okay, so knowing your niche immediately brings us to the next massive pitfall, which is gear acquisition syndrome.
Oh, boy. GAS.
Yes. The pervasive myth that you cannot start charging money until you own $10,000 worth of professional equipment.
It is such a myth. High-end gear actually just exposes the flaws in poor technique.
Wait, really? It makes it worse.
Oh, absolutely.
If you put a $4,000 camera and a $900 camera in the hands of two different photographers, the camera body is rarely the deciding factor in the final image.
So what is the deciding factor?
It's an understanding of light, compositional balance, and timing. Always.
Okay, so we need to reframe this from a business standpoint. The Pitcot materials suggest starting with a solid mid-range body and one versatile lens, specifically a 50 millimeter.
Yes, the nifty 50.
That isn't just a good lens. It is arguably the highest return on investment piece of equipment you can buy because of its low cost and incredibly high utility.
It really is. And you must secure reliable backup memory cards. That is the essential kit. Everything else is just noise at the beginning.
So how do you upgrade then?
From there, you let the actual paid work dictate your next capital expenditure.
Oh, I love that. Let the business pay for the business.
Exactly. If you start booking dark indoor corporate events, well, then you let the profits from those events pay for your low-light lenses or a second camera body. Because buying specialized gear before you have the specialized clients is like buying a high-end sports car before you even have a driver's license.
Haha, exactly. You're just going to crash it.
But what if you do book a high-paying job that requires a specialized tool you don't own yet?
Okay, that brings us to the game-changing secret for freelancers, which is renting.
Renting, yes.
You don't have to drop $2,000 on a massive 7,200-millimeter telephoto lens for your very first wedding. You just rent it for the weekend.
That is so smart.
Or if you're curious if you can break into product photography, you know, just rent a macro lens for a week.
It takes all the risk away.
It does. Renting converts a massive capital expenditure into a minor operational expense, which is entirely tax deductible for your business.
Brilliant. It also saves you from wasting money on the things you absolutely do not need.
Oh my gosh, the vanity items.
Yes. You don't need a $500 vintage leather camera strap. You don't need a custom embossed portfolio case. And you definitely don't need gold foil business cards.
Haha. No. You save your capital because the one tool that actually requires constant, relentless upgrading is your brain.
Oh, that is so true. Technology and aesthetic trends move at lightning speed in this industry.
They really do. A lighting style that looked incredibly fresh 5 years ago looks completely dated today.
Yep. You have to constantly study new editing techniques in Lightroom, advanced Photoshop composites, and emerging visual trends.
But, beyond the creative software, you must upgrade your business acumen.
The business side, which everyone ignores.
Completely. Being a brilliant photographer who doesn't understand cash flow is just a person with an expensive hobby.
Ouch.
I know. But you have to master marketing psychology. You have to understand contract law basics. You have to learn tax liability.
Speaking of the critical business skills you need to learn, the Pitcot ebooks we're pulling from today are the perfect resource for this. You have to visit www.pitcot.com.
Oh, for sure. You need those resources.
And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Yeah. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show.
Exactly. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
That is an excellent point.
Right.
Because, you know, all of those business skills and all of that beautiful gear are completely useless if you don't have human beings to actually hire you.
Oh, man. The networking.
Yes. We have to dive into the unavoidable reality of networking.
You know, networking is a word that instantly makes creative people cringe.
Haha. They hate it.
It feels inherently sleazy, like you're supposed to walk into a room and throw business cards at strangers who clearly don't want them.
Right. But we need to fundamentally reframe networking. It is not about transactions. It is about relationship building.
Okay, that feels better already.
Because cold applications rarely work in freelance photography. This entire industry runs on word of mouth.
Completely.
You need to join local business groups and genuinely converse with people. Talk to wedding planners, real estate agents, makeup artists.
And the Pitcot sources reveal a phenomenal mechanism for breaking through the digital noise here.
Oh, I love this part.
The 2-minute handwritten thank you note.
Yes.
Like using a physical stamp and putting it in the actual mail. Send it to clients, models, or even assistants who helped you on a shoot.
It is so rare these days.
Exactly. In an era where email inboxes are overflowing, a physical piece of mail leverages scarcity to hack their memory retention. Yeah. It makes you entirely unforgettable.
It proves you're willing to go the extra mile. And when you are building that reputation to land your first paying jobs, you have to be super strategic.
What do you mean?
Well, you second shoot for established professionals. You approach a local bakery to shoot their menu, or you volunteer for a high-profile local nonprofit.
But the critical mechanism here is that you treat every single free or small budget gig exactly like a $10,000 corporate campaign.
Yes. You completely overdeliver.
Because that local bakery owner talks to five other local business owners. If you show up on time, act like a professional, and deliver stunning work, you turn a free shoot into a powerful referral engine.
That is exactly how it works. You also use social media as part of this community building engine.
Right. But not how most people think.
No. Too many beginners chase viral follower counts. Social media is for leaving thoughtful comments on local vendors' pages and sharing the behind-the-scenes reality of your process.
Yeah, you want to build a supportive local network, not a hollow global audience.
Exactly.
Okay, so your referral engine is working, you've impressed the right people, and someone asks the terrifying question, what are your rates?
Ah, the money question.
If you try to price your services without a strict formula, it is like setting your camera's ISO without looking at the light meter.
Uh-huh, just guessing in the dark.
Right. You might get lucky, but you're usually going to end up underexposed and losing money or completely blown out and scaring off the client.
Pricing is a rigid mathematical equation. There is no magic to it.
So what's the formula?
First, you calculate your cost of doing business, or the CODB. This is the invisible overhead.
Things clients don't see.
Exactly. It includes the depreciation of your gear, your monthly software subscriptions, liability insurance, travel costs, and crucially, an hourly rate for your editing time.
Oh, people always forget to pay themselves for editing. Let's break that down. If your overhead and the salary you need to survive equals a specific number,
right,
you take that total and divide it by the realistic number of sessions you can handle in a month without burning out.
Precisely. And then, and this is key, you must add a profit margin on top of that final number.
A profit margin.
Yes, because you are running a business designed to grow, not a charity designed to break even.
That is such a good reminder. And there's a fantastic benchmark in the PitCop materials to test if your math is actually aligned with the market.
Oh, the booking ratio.
Yes. If your calendar is completely booked solid and you are turning people away daily, you are actually priced too cheaply.
You are leaving money on the table.
But if you are booking roughly half of the inquiries that come into your inbox, you have found the perfect friction point.
That is the sweet spot.
Huh.
And as your portfolio strengthens and demand rises, you incrementally raise your prices.
Makes sense.
And regardless of what that final number is, you secure it with a written contract. Always.
Always.
A contract protects your time, legally enforces your payment schedule, and clearly dictates the deliverables.
Okay, so the math is working, the contracts are signed, and money is finally coming in.
The good part.
But the next major threat isn't failure. It's actually success.
Oh, yes. The burnout phase.
How do you prevent this freelance business from completely consuming your life and destroying your sanity?
You have to implement rigid organization and boundaries.
The PitCop sources talk about task management, like doing administrative tasks sporadically throughout the day, answering an email, editing two photos, checking Instagram, editing another photo.
It's exhausting just hearing it.
It is like doing laundry one sock at a time. It just destroys your focus.
It really does. Every time you switch tasks, your brain experiences a cognitive load penalty.
So what is the solution?
The solution is batching. You dedicate a two-hour block solely to emails. You edit an entire gallery in one sitting before moving to the next project.
Okay, grouping similar tasks.
Exactly. You schedule all client consultations on a Tuesday afternoon. Batching preserves your creative energy.
And you pair that with strict office hours, because just because you work for yourself doesn't mean you are on call 24 hours a day.
No. If a client emails you at midnight and you reply at 12:05 a.m., you have just trained them to expect midnight responses.
You set your own trap.
You really do. You must also leverage automated tools to shoulder the administrative burden.
Like what kind of tools?
Utilize shared scheduling calendars. Implement dedicated invoicing tools like Wave or Honeybook.
Oh, those are lifesavers.
And create email templates for your most frequently asked questions so you aren't manually typing out your pricing structure 50 times a month.
Work smarter, not harder. We also have to talk about the paranoia protocol.
Oh, the backups.
Yes, backups. The PitCop materials don't just suggest backing up files. They demand a strict 3-tier risk management system.
It is non-negotiable.
You need a local hard drive backup, a cloud-based backup, and a physical offsite backup. Because hard drives are mechanical devices, you know. They will fail.
It is not a matter of if, but when.
Exactly.
And if you lose a client's wedding photos because you didn't want to buy a second hard drive, your reputation in the local market is instantly destroyed.
It's game over.
But If you have the three-tier system in place, a drive failure is just a minor inconvenience instead of a business-ending catastrophe.
So true. But, you know, even with bulletproof contracts and triple backups, you are still dealing with human beings.
Haha, the biggest variable of all.
Which means things will inevitably go sideways. You will encounter difficult clients who give vague feedback, demand endless revisions, or constantly pay late.
It happens to everyone.
And the natural instinct is to bend over backward, absorb the loss, and just give them whatever they want to avoid a bad review.
I know, but that instinct is dangerous.
Why is that?
Boundaries are what actually preserve your reputation and your mental health. When a client becomes difficult, you de-escalate by keeping your communication incredibly brief, polite, and completely devoid of emotion.
Detached from the drama.
Exactly. You use your contract as a neutral third party. Instead of arguing about extra edits, you simply refer them to the document as outlined in Section 4 of our agreement.
Ah, so the contract becomes the bad guy that protects your relationship with the client.
Yes, and you have to learn to spot the psychological red flags before you even sign them.
Like what?
If a prospect is aggressively haggling on your price during the first phone call, they are telling you they do not value your expertise.
Oh, that is a huge red flag.
Right. If they haggle on price, they will haggle on the timeline, the revisions, and the final delivery. Trust your instincts and politely walk away.
Just walk away. And beyond difficult clients, the absolute biggest mistake beginners make is simply giving up too early.
This breaks my heart.
The Pitcott data shows it takes a solid 1 to 2 years of relentless effort to build consistent, reliable income in freelance photography.
Yep. The professionals who succeed aren't always the most talented artists.
Really?
Really. They're the ones who possessed the persistence to keep shooting and refining their business model when it was difficult.
Wow. Persistence beats talent every single time. So while you are sleeping, or while you are politely walking away from red flag clients, you need a mechanism working the night shift to bring in new leads.
Yes, your online presence.
Exactly.
This is where search engine optimization, or SEO, becomes the most powerful tool in your arsenal. And we aren't talking about generic internet traffic here. We're talking about intent-based search.
That is a crucial distinction, because when someone is scrolling through social media, they're engaging in interruption-based consumption.
Right, they are just looking for entertainment.
But when someone physically types "wedding photographer near me" into a search engine, they have their credit card in hand. They have a high intent to purchase.
Exactly. To capture that intent, your website must be optimized for local search phrases.
So local SEO.
You must claim your business on local directories and actively solicit detailed reviews from your happy clients, because algorithms prioritize local trust signals.
And when that highly targeted traffic lands on your site, you cannot just show them a cold grid of photos. You have to tell a story.
Storytelling is everything.
You need an About Me page that explains why you are obsessed with capturing human connection. Clients ultimately hire people they feel a connection with.
They really do. They want to trust the person behind the lens.
And that consistency of storytelling builds incredible trust.
If they see that you show up consistently online with a clear professional message, they subconsciously believe you will show up consistently and professionally on the day of their shoot.
That is so powerful. Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, there is a profound final thought embedded in the Pitcott materials.
Oh, I know the one.
We spend so much time obsessing over sensor sizes, pricing formulas, and SEO tactics. But what if the ultimate goal of building this freelance photography business isn't actually about taking the perfect photo?
Right. What if it's bigger than that?
What if it is about intentionally designing the exact lifestyle you want to live? The camera isn't the final destination. It is simply the key you use to unlock that door.
It is a powerful paradigm shift. The business serves your life, not the other way around.
That gave me actual chills. The camera is just the key.
It really is.
Well, thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Yes, and please subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too.
Thank you for being there with us. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Until next time, keep refining your craft, keep mastering your business, and keep building that dream.